This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, here we are, Thursday, nearly Friday. Basically the end of the week here. Let me tell you what's going on today. To start out, we're going to be going through each preseason game for Thursday. And going to talk about what to watch for each game, which players to watch for, and all that. Give a little sum on each team also. Second segment, we're going to be talking about the MLB. Jason Worth doesn't like analytics. Red Sox keep winning. Yankees took another one yesterday, and I believe the A's ended up knocking off the Dodgers. So we'll be looking at that along with talking about all the other scores from Wednesday's ball games. And then for the third segment, we did talk about the NBA Christmas Day schedule and all that coming out. Yesterday talked about the teams who were going to be playing, talked about, gave my thoughts on who I thought should have been playing who that day. So we did that, but seems the Raptors aren't too happy about the fact that, once again, they are not playing on Christmas Day. So I'll give my thoughts on all that, and we will talk about anything else going on in the NBA if need be. And then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports, as we always do for this show. So that's what's going on for today, and preseason week one. You get excited because finally you get to watch your team play. We all had the Hall of Fame game last week. Hall of Fame game just more so makes you excited that football's back. But obviously right here, preseason week one means that you finally get to watch your team, see how they've done so far in training camp, look for maybe your favorite sleeper, and look to see how your number one pick does. So, I mean, it's exciting. Games are probably going to stink out loud because, yes, it is the preseason. It is not the most popular thing amongst fans, but you got to go through it, mainly for the players who need to develop. So, there's that. And like I said, we're going to go through each game for Thursday, talking about what you need to watch for, or who you need to watch for each one. So, let's get into it. We got Panthers and Bills first up. Obviously, what you're watching for here are the Bills quarterbacks. And normally, I'm sure none of us would ever watch a Buffalo Bills game if you weren't necessarily a Buffalo Bills fan. But when it comes to preseason, these are the games that you most want to watch because there's a competition to be had there amongst the players on that same team. AJ McCarron, Nathan Peterman, and Josh Allen. I'm not sure how much Nathan Peterman is in this quarterback battle. I mean, I'm sure if he played maybe well enough, he could possibly start. There's just a point where, I mean, last season we saw him have that game against the Chargers, and you just figured, yeah, this guy's time as an NFL quarterback is over. But yeah, I'll definitely be watching Bills and Panthers play. I mean, why not, given the fact that these quarterbacks are going to have to go out there and do everything they can to show that, yeah, I need to take the upper hand here. So there's going to be some competitiveness. This will probably be one of the better games here. With the Panthers, I'm not sure how much the starters are going to be playing. I'm assuming a series or two. I'm curious to see how much DJ Moore plays. That's one player I got my eye on with Carolina. Obviously, they've lacked a number one receiver since Cam Newton has got there. I mean, they had Steve Smith, but he was already on his way out, given that the Panthers weren't looking to keep him around. So, yeah, he hasn't really had that true number one receiver that he's been able to be like consistent with or anything like that. Kelvin Benjamin obviously didn't like playing with Cam Newton for some reason. But either way, yeah, that's going to be one of the better games to watch there. I'm not sure a guy like Corey Coleman plays for the Bills tonight also, given that he just barely got traded. It wouldn't make sense, but I mean, if he picked up the playbook enough, then I guess, yeah, you could see him, but like I said, I highly doubt it. Then we got the Bears and the Bengals. I'm looking forward to watching Jeremy Ross play for the Bengals. Didn't really see him do anything last season. Only took about, 15, 20 snaps, I think, the entire year. Brandon LaFell's no longer there, so obviously he's going to be the guy opposite of AJ Green. And I mean, this Bengals team has talent. It's not like it's just Marvin Lewis as the coach and a bunch of scrubs out there. Like, no, Andy Dalton can be a top 10 quarterback. We all know AJ Green's a top 5 receiver, arguably. Jeremy Ross, I mean, was the fastest receiver at the combine last year, and I really like what they got going on defense. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see them. And as far as the Bears, I mean, just more so Anthony Miller. I figured maybe he'd play in the Hall of Fame game. He did not, so I'm assuming we'll definitely see him here. That's my man to watch for the Bears. Roquan Smith still not signed yet, so pretty much Anthony Miller is a story with the Browns with the Bears until Roquan Smith gets there. So then we got the Buccaneers and the Miami Dolphins playing today. I'm curious to see how time gets divided up amongst quarterbacks for the Buccaneers. I'm not really sure if Jameis Winston is going to be playing, and I'm assuming if he does, I mean, like, he's not going to be there for the first 3 weeks of the season. And neither Vita Vea won't be playing tonight either, the first-round pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But either way, I mean, like I said, Jameis isn't playing the first 3 weeks of the season, so do you trot out Ryan Fitzpatrick as a starter today, or do you still go with Jameis? And if you do trot out Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, does that mean Jameis plays a lot of the first half, or is it going to be one where maybe the third-string guy is the one who's getting the majority of the reps? Or even then, so maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick gets a bunch of reps here. Who knows? But that's one thing to watch for with the Bucs, how they manage the QB situation. Plus, they got Ronald Jones, the running back out of USC. So, we'll see how their running game looks and see if this defense, I guess. And again, first, like the defense, I don't know. Usually, I figure the defense plays a little bit longer than the offense. So, I guess I'm curious to see if this defense can show anything as far as improvement compared to last year. Then, for the Dolphins, I'd say the running backs are what to watch for, along with Ryan Tannehill. We'll get into him in a second, but obviously, there's a little running back starter battle between Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. I'm curious to see how much each of them play. Frank Gore looking like he's completely young again. Kenyon Drake looking to take over finally. You got Ballage over from Arizona State also there, so I'm sure he's going to be playing a lot. And I'm curious to see how Albert Wilson ends up doing there. Plus, this Dolphins secondary, you got Tony Lippett coming back off of an ACL tear. Xavier Howard had a breakout year last year. They added Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think he was a steal getting him at number 11. I figured he was going to go top 7 in the draft. And then also, like I said, Ryan Tannehill. Not really sure how much he's going to be playing. I'm assuming it's only for a series or two here, but you just want to see how mobile he is playing with a knee brace and all that coming off of ACL surgery the season before. Then we got the Browns and Giants. Obviously, you know what to watch for here. It's Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor. Seems that he is the undisputed starter for this team. There is no competition there, so I think that's all done and over with for the time being. But obviously, Baker Mayfield seems like he's going to be playing a lot. And, I mean, he's probably the most looked at rookie of this draft class. Of course, being him being the number one pick, but also just the fact that, I mean, a walk-on at Oklahoma, all right, Big 12 quarterback who did well. And like I said, Big 12 quarterbacks don't tend to really play well in the NFL. So it's going to be interesting to see what his mechanics are looking like, how well he works with his receivers. And as for the Giants, I mean, Saquon Barkley, obviously, the story for that team. I'm not even sure Eli Manning plays in this game. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of the backup quarterbacks getting plenty of action. But, yeah, we're going to see Saquon Barkley for the first time in an NFL game. A lot of hype surrounding that guy. Like I said, we haven't really seen him play, so maybe pump the brakes a bit. But definitely those two are what to watch for in that game. Then we got the Steelers and Eagles. I'm going to be watching that Steelers defense, mainly that new safety they drafted, Edmonds. I believe it is Terrell Edmonds, if I'm not mistaken. See how he does. I mean, the Steelers secondary has always been pretty bad. They've never really done too well for themselves. And, I mean, the defense is what let them down in the playoffs last year. So you're just looking to see whether or not this defense can make an improvement, kind of like the Buccaneers defense. And as far as the Eagles go, I mean, they're the reigning Super Bowl champs. They really won't play too many important people. Like, I'm not sure Nick Foles really plays too much or anything like that. J.J., I'm probably going to get a couple of series, but we'll see a lot of Corey Clement, Pumphrey, and all those guys. So that's pretty much what to watch for with the Eagles, the second and third guys, the depth guys. So then we got Saints-Jags. I'm going to be looking to see what the Jags wide receivers do in this game. Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, no longer there. That era's over. Now it's the younger guys, undrafted Keenan Cole, Marquise Lee, D.D. Westbrook, going to see how they do. And as far as the Saints, I mean, you're just pretty much waiting to see how these second-year players look, obviously coming into their second season, see how Marcus Williams does. after the play he gave up over against Minnesota in the NFC divisional game there. So, I mean, these two teams are basically Super Bowl contenders, so you're not really going to see too many of their starters playing to start the game. Redskins, Patriots. I'm just curious to see what Alex Smith looks like in the first couple of series for the Redskins. I mean, this Redskins team flying under the radar, but could impress you and could shock some people as far as wins this season. So, just going to be watching for Alex Smith. Also, Darius Geis, their second round pick, could arguably be the best running back out of this draft class. As for the Patriots, obviously, it's the wide receivers going to see who steps up and makes a name for himself. Given that, I mean, I figure the starting jobs for who's going to be a wide receiver are all up for grabs there. So, we'll see about that. Rams, Ravens, obviously, I mean, Lamar Jackson's the story here. That's all you need to really pay attention to here is Lamar Jackson, I'd say, in RG3 in his second game. I'm assuming RG3 plays more in this game than he did in the Hall of Fame game, so we'll see about that. Titans, Packers, going to see how well this Titans offense looks to start. I think Matt LaFleur is going to be having him play quick and fast. Also, the Marcus Mariota is going to have a big step up here, so we'll see about that. And then for the Packers, how their rookie cornerbacks do, and also how those two running backs do. I think we're talking about Jones and Jamal Williams. So we'll see how they do there. Texans, Chiefs. Curious to see if Deshaun Watson plays. If he does, obviously see how he looks on that knee. And then for the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He'll probably only get a series there. I'm curious. I don't know. Mahomes is coming into his first full season as a starter. So maybe the Chiefs play him a little bit more. And if they do, then obviously the eye is going to be on him. Then we got Cowboys, 49ers, obviously Jimmy G. I want to see how that offense does, so that's what I'm looking for. As for the Cowboys, the wide receivers, I'm not really sure how much I like the receivers on that team, so we'll see how they end up doing. Then we got Colts and Seahawks. The obvious answer here is Andrew Luck. That's the only thing I'm really watching for in this game is Andrew Luck. See how he looks throwing the ball. So that's going to be the last game for today, so that's what I'm looking forward to in each of these games. Probably going to try and watch a couple at a time, but either way, it's going to be interesting to see what these new look teams look like. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking MLB, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about each of the Week 1 preseason games for at least Thursday. Talked about what to watch for each game. And now for this segment, we move on and now we talk about the MLB. So Jason Worth, recently retired Major League Baseball player, spent his career playing 15 years. I think was a career 267 hitter. Nearly had 800 RBIs, hit about 230 home runs. So, he had some comments as far as, I think he calls them, super nerds. Says that they are killing the game of baseball. And obviously this stems from the war of analytics versus baseball. I'd say analytics has taken over the sport and has held a great big place in the sport of baseball. I think we could think Billy Bean manager of the A's for pretty much being one of the first to full-fledged use it. But either way, some baseball players don't like analytics, and Jason Worth is one of them. Like I said, he said that analytics is killing the game. Well, the super nerds are killing the game. Says they know nothing about baseball, and they like to project numbers and players. Says, might as well just put laptops and computers out there, let them play. We don't even need to go out there anymore. It's a joke. I mean, I haven't really seen the whole analytics and these quote-unquote super nerds. I haven't seen them really killing the game. And maybe it's just one you got to kind of look deeper into, but I mean, how has analytics really changed the game? Teams just want to be more efficient. I guess maybe the guy who's hitting 40 home runs a season, but hitting about 265, 250 isn't really as efficient or as helpful as maybe you thought. And if a guy's hitting 40 home runs, I'm assuming that maybe that was a little bit too high of a number. So the guy's hitting about 35 home runs or whatever. But like I said, he's only hitting about 250, 260. Maybe you don't want that guy on your team. Maybe you want the guy who's hitting less home runs, but is getting on base and scoring more often than not, and has a pretty high batting average, anywhere from like 290 to 310 or whatever. Maybe you want that guy. And I think that's all it is right here as far as analytics and baseball. It's just all about efficiency. Baseball is, you got to be real smart to play baseball. And people don't really think that because of the fact that, I mean, more so than not, you're just standing around hoping the ball gets hit to you. You get to hit maybe, if you're lucky, about three times a game. Usually it's just about two, depending on what the pitching's looking like. But baseball, definitely, I think you got to be real smart to play that game. As far as the scenarios, the shifts, and all of that stuff. Who's where? Where do I need to hit this ball to drive this guy in? Like, baseball mentally is one of the tougher sports to play. I'd say that. Obviously, you're not really going to have that feeling if you haven't played it, but definitely got to be a smart guy to play baseball. And I just think that's what it is here. Baseball is just a game that's advanced, and the analytics is one where, I mean, it seems to fit in here better than it does others. Football, they've tried to go the analytics route. It doesn't work in football. It just doesn't. And football, is, like, those athletes are just a whole different breed compared to baseball players and all those. NBA, they're tending to embrace it more, starting to fall into the league more, and I think it's helped a bit. But like I said, I mean, now it's just a point where analytics is just basically a way of figuring out a way to bring in a more efficient player. A guy who's going to get this done for you when you need it. So I don't really have a problem with analytics, like I said. I think it works in baseball. I think it fits in baseball. Like I said, basketball is starting to embrace it more. And as for the NFL, it doesn't really work out there. But I wouldn't say that it's a problem or anything like that. And if it is, I guess I'm blind to it. So, I mean, Jason Worth honestly is one of those guys who would hit a whole bunch of home runs during the season, but his batting average wasn't necessarily the greatest. And I think maybe it's just a point where analytics is pushing guys like that out the league. Because, I mean, he was a career 267 hitter. I don't necessarily think that 267 is great. I mean, the guy played 15 seasons, so obviously he did something right. So, I mean, everyone's going to have their opinions on analytics. Some are going to like it. Some are going to hate it. As far as the MLB goes, I don't really mind analytics playing a big part in there. I mean, watching my favorite team over the years, I don't think I've really seen a big difference. And I don't think there's really a big problem with analytics. I think it's just more so just complaints and complaints and complaints. So there's that. Derek Jeter says the Marlins are heading in the right direction. I mean, what direction is that? And are we sure it's the right one? The Marlins had a good thing going. Obviously, some tragedies happened, and that kind of shifted everything. So, I mean, I guess now it's just a point where the Marlins are so bad to the point where they have nowhere to go but up, I guess. But Derek Jeter has made a lot of questionable decisions. So, he's really going to have to get these next few moves, right? At least to show that, yes, progress is being made. Because it seemed like Derek Jeter, as soon as he came in, was able to make decisions, he said, all right, everyone that's worked here, get out. We're starting over from the beginning. So, I mean, we'll see what the Marlins do. The season hasn't necessarily been great for them, but we all figured that was going to happen. But either way, Derek Jeter says the Marlins are heading in the right direction, so we'll see how right he really is. Well, let's see, anything else going on right now? Not really too big of news going on, so let's check the scores from Wednesday's ball games. So let's see, we had the Mets beating the Reds 8-0, Rangers beating the Mariners 11-7. I don't want to say I told you so, but a couple weeks back, about maybe 2 weeks or a month back, I did say the Mariners were frauds. Turns out, I think they're frauds. They are getting Robbie Cano back in a couple of weeks. Maybe that helps, but I mean, the Mariners were maintaining a decent record all season long, did well to maintain the wild card spot all season long up until the last couple of weeks, but I mean, their run differential was about even. And more times than not, it was on the negative side. So, I mean, that team, a team like that right there, you can't really trust. We had the Pirates beating the Rockies 4-3. Diamondbacks beating the Phillies 6-0. I believe the Diamondbacks have now taken over first place in the NL West. It's a bit of a back-and-forth division race right there. We had the Angels beating the Tigers 6-0. Tigers been real terrible this past season. They haven't really been able to do anything. Braves beating the Nationals 8-3. Orioles beating the Rays 5-4. Red Sox once again pulling out the win. Beat the Blue Jays 10-5. Rafael Devers homers in his first game back from the DL. I mean, you got the Red Sox who were without Devers for about a week and a half or so. They're winning ball games without him, and you got a guy coming back, his first game back, and he's hitting home runs. I mean, the depth on this team is absolutely ridiculous. Had the Indians beating the Twins 5-2. Cardinals beating the Marlins 7-1. Yankees continuing on their little, what is it, three-game winning streak there, 7-3. Stanton hit a grand slam late on the game. You had Brewers beating the Padres 8-4. Royals beating the Cubs 9-0. And then the A's beating the Dodgers 3-2. As far as the Yankees go, like I said, their third straight win after getting swept by Boston in four games. The Yankees here, all they got to do is weather the storm. Judge will probably be back at the end of the month. Gary Sanchez probably at the end of the month or beginning of September. So, I mean, I don't think the Mariners are really going to do much to try and catch up. So, like I said, it's just weather the storm here. Try and win whatever games you can. And try not to drop games to Baltimore or Tampa Bay, for that matter. Those are the games you got to win. So, we'll see what ends up happening with them. I mean, Severino got off to a bit of a shaky start to start the game. The first inning, I think he gave up, a two-run home run, I think it was. Either way, did well to pick himself up. And he's been struggling since the All-Star break was over. So, I mean, the Yankees are going to need him to turn back into that ace, because if Severino's not pitching the way the Yankees assume he can, then this team isn't doing anything in the wild card game or the postseason for that matter. So, we'll see what ends up happening. As for the games going on today, we got a few of them in progress, some of them that have ended. We had the Brewers and Padres in the top of the seventh right now. Brewers currently up 4-2. Nationals beat the Braves 6-3. Indians beat the Twins 5-4. And then later on today, we got the Rangers playing the Yankees. Blue Jays and Red Sox. Red Sox scoring for the sweep with Rick Porcello pitching. Orioles playing the Rays. Mariners playing the Astros. That's going to be a decent series right there. Dodgers playing the Rockies. Rockies do well enough here, they'll put themselves right back up to the top of the AL West. Pirates and Giants. So only a few games going on today. So that's how it's looking right now. Like I said, Jason Worth doesn't like these super nerds up in the front office as far as analytics. They do their analytics and all that. I have no problem with the advanced stats. I think it's fine. But then again, I mean, it is pushing guys out, like Jason Worth, I'd say, out the league and bringing in more efficient players. But, I mean, it's just the way it is, I guess. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we will be talking about the NBA. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Spent that first segment talking about the preseason games going on tonight. Talked about which players to watch for and what storylines to watch for amongst each game. Second segment, we talked about the MLB, analytics, and all that good stuff in there. Now we move on and we head over to the NBA. Raptors aren't happy about the fact that they're not playing on Christmas. I get why. I think it's been what? I think it was a 17-year drought for them on Christmas Day, not having a game. The Raptors are a team in the East who are one of the best, have competed at the top, at least in the regular season, the last few years. And, I mean, it's understandable why they're unhappy with the fact that they haven't gotten a Christmas game. And, I mean, if you look at the Raptors, if you were to have them play on Christmas Day, would they sell out? Yes. It would be a big deal over there. But I do understand why the NBA has not put them on to play on Christmas. The Raptors aren't a draw outside of Toronto. They just really aren't. I mean, honestly, you put them up against any NBA team in the East right now, is there a rivalry? I wouldn't necessarily say that the Celtics and Raptors are rivals. Maybe they play each other really hard each game, but I wouldn't say that they're rivals. I wouldn't say Toronto and the Knicks are rivals. I wouldn't say Toronto and Philly are rivals. I wouldn't even say Toronto and Brooklyn are rivals. Maybe the Toronto fans feel something toward each of these teams, but I don't necessarily think that makes you a rival. Like Philly and Boston, they have history. Okay. Even the Cavs and Warriors, for that matter, have history. That's what makes a rivalry. So I don't necessarily think the Raptors are a rival with anyone in their division. And I'd say they aren't a rival with anyone out in the central division of the NBA, the Bucks, Pacers, Pistons, Cavs. The Cavs, I don't necessarily think that was a rivalry. I mean, where was the rivalry there? You lose to LeBron a whole bunch of times. Is that really a rivalry? And I guess maybe that is the closest thing that they've had to a rivalry when it came to the playoffs. Just given the fact that I said that, I mean, the Cavs were doing most of the winning there, but I mean, the Warriors have been doing most of the winning out west. But then again, I don't really think of Rockets-Warriors as a rivalry. More so, just the two best teams in the West have bet against each other the last couple years. Maybe Thunder-Warriors, I guess. Like, I wouldn't even consider that a rivalry. Just more so Russell. I would consider that a rivalry. I would. But like, it's barely. But like, as far as the Raptors go, like I said, they have no true rival in the NBA. And even when with the Cavs, I mean, how much of a rivalry really was that when LeBron was winning every single game? And like I said, Toronto outside of Toronto, it's not like Toronto's only a draw in Toronto to those fans. Outside of here, I mean, I don't think anyone's really worried about who the Raptors are playing. Because we look at the games right now, Bucks, Knicks. I mean, if we were to have a Bucks, Raptors, not really a great game. Bucks, Knicks, or Raptors, Knicks, I don't think anyone really gets too excited for that. And I think maybe Knicks-Raptors would have possibly worked just given the fact that you do have a star player in Kawhi Leonard playing in Madison Square Garden. But I'm sure that the Raptors didn't want to play a Christmas Day game outside of Toronto. So I have no problem with the Bucks and Knicks. I think that was the right choice. So then I think the only logical matchup after that is maybe the Raptors up against the Celtics or the 76ers. Is Raptors-76ers a better matchup than Celtics-76ers? No, it's not. Is Raptors-Celtics a better matchup? A more one that's going to get more eyeballs than Celtics-Philly? No, it's not. So I don't really think, like I said, there's much of a demand for the Raptors outside of Toronto. I mean, I do think the NBA could have done better as far as their Christmas Day games. But like I said, I don't think Toronto really fits into what they could have done better. Like I said, it was Celtics-Lakers is what they should have done. Rockets-Warriors. Thunder Jazz. Bucks Knicks is the only one I think that's a perfect matchup. So, I mean, like I said, I get why the Raptors are frustrated at the fact they're not playing on Christmas, but I don't think anyone wants to really play in Toronto on Christmas, and I don't think Toronto wants to go anywhere else to play on Christmas. It is a bit of a... I guarantee you they feel a bit disrespected given how well they've done in the regular season, but like I said, you got to generate more fans. Christmas Day is the best of the best there. People saying, oh, how are the Knicks playing? The Knicks, I get that. The Knicks aren't a great team, but the Knicks are still a draw. Madison Square Garden is what they got. You take Madison Square Garden away from the Knicks, then yeah, they're absolutely not a draw, and yes, they don't deserve to play on Christmas. But since they got Madison Square Garden, it makes it a bigger moment and a bigger event. So that's why the Knicks are there. We all know why the Celtics and Sixers are there. Same with the Warriors and Lakers, and also the Rockets and Thunder. Maybe you could have put the Raptors in the last game, but even then, so I mean, usually the last game is out west because of the fact that it's so late. I mean, if I had to look for the perfect Christmas Day matchup for the Raptors and say if we were going to put them on there, I mean, it'd be maybe like a Raptors-Pacers type of thing. Maybe Raptors-Celtics, Raptors-Philly. Raptors-Detroit would be cool. Maybe Raptors in Miami, since they have a bit of some playoff history in the last few years. Maybe you do that, or even Raptors-Wizards. But like I said, I mean, there's not really a rivalry or any true significance to either of those games, any of those games. The Raptors' problem here, honestly, is that they play in Toronto. That's the biggest problem. You don't play in Toronto, you keep the same team, but you move to a bigger market out in the U.S., then, yeah, you'll play on Christmas Day. But the fact that they play on Toronto means they'll never really get any love. And that's the way it's always been. I mean, Toronto's always struggled to sign free agents. They've always struggled to keep their star players that they've drafted also. Guys like Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady. I mean, DeMar DeRozan, I think we could all say, was the first guy drafted by the Toronto Raptors who wanted to spend the rest of his career in Toronto. And I mean, all they did was go out and trade the guy. So I just think them being in Toronto is the problem here, not more so them anything else. I mean, sorry, but in the U.S., Canada's not really a draw. It stinks. Toronto is a team good enough to play on Christmas, but like I said, it's just the way it is. The NBA makes more money not putting the Raptors on Christmas rather than putting them on, I'd say. I mean, you can't honestly think that people wouldn't skip over the Raptors and whoever game on Christmas Day. I wouldn't, because I love watching basketball and all that, but you know the casuals would. So, we'll see. I mean, maybe one day next year the Raptors end up on Christmas. Maybe if they keep Kawhi Leonard. But this possibly could have been their last chance at being on Christmas for a while. Just given the fact that if Kawhi doesn't come back, I mean, who's really on that team to keep him good? And who's really on that team that's a draw to watch? No one. So, like I said, we'll see about it. Stinks for Toronto. I'm sure the fans really wanted to see him on Christmas, but I mean, it's a situation where it doesn't really work out for you. So let's see, anything else going on in the NBA? Jaylen Brown says it's no question the Celtics will make the 2019 finals in the NBA. Said that on CJ McCollum's podcast. I mean, looking at it, I'd say that, yeah, they are the best team in the East. Toronto's right there, but given that the Celtics played the majority last season without Kyrie Irving, not the majority, but a lot of it without Kyrie Irving and all the season without Gordon Hayward, I mean, you got to figure Boston's going to end up being better than Toronto. But I mean, you can't overlook him there. So, I mean, I do understand why he thinks that, but it's also a point. You don't really want to put bulletin board material up there for the Raptors or Sixers for that matter. I guarantee you the Sixers are already feeling disrespected. I'm sure they're thinking going into the season, yeah, we're going to be much better, but everyone keeps brushing them over to the side because they lost to the Celtics in 5 games without Gordon Hayward or Kyrie Irving. Is it right? No. Is it happening? Yeah. And as for the Raptors, I feel like everyone's kind of forgotten about them. Me too. I mean, there's no real story to watch for with the Raptors now that LeBron is gone. At least every postseason to look forward to with the Raptors was, can they get past LeBron and the Cavs this time? Now, he's not there anymore for there to be a story created. And like I said, they haven't really developed a rivalry with the Celtics or one with the Sixers. So it's just right now, Toronto's just another team in the East, no matter how good they are. And what I mean by another team in the East, I mean, there's no real reason to talk about them. You don't really talk about the Wizards. The Pacers, don't really talk about them. You just let them play out their season. And that's where the Raptors are right now. I mean, the only talk about Toronto is going to be whether or not, if they're not doing well enough, they're going to trade Kawhi at the trade deadline. Or where's Kawhi going to end up going next season? So, Like I said, Toronto gets a raw deal here just because of the fact that they play in Toronto. Is it right? No. Do you understand it? Yes. Toronto's just never going to be a draw. They never will. And until they become one, they're going to keep getting disrespected. I mean, these other teams like Milwaukee have had to deal with it. They get a kind of a pass now since they got Giannis. Indiana's a real solid team. Real great all-around team in the East. Could be a top three team in the East. Is anyone going to talk about that? No, why? Because no one wants to talk about Indiana. And that's where big markets, small markets come into play. The bigger markets, I mean, the Knicks have been terrible forever. The Knicks are one of the most overrated franchises ever. But they're always going to get more publicity than the Raptors. That's just the way it is. They play in New York. New York media is always going to prop them up. New York media is king, by the way, for those that don't know. There's no bigger media outlet out there than the little market they got out in New York. I mean, look over in the NFL. Teams like the Jets. What have the Jets ever done? I mean, we still talk about Joe Namath. Dude played back in the late 60s, early 70s. I mean, come on now. It's just the way things go. But we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked preseason week one, talked about all those games, what to watch for at least. Second segment, we talked about the MLB. Recently retired Jason Worth says that there's too many super nerds out there in the MLB front offices killing the game. I'm not sure I agree with him, but then again, Jason Worth is out there more than I am to understand it. I just think maybe the MLB has moved to an age where more efficient players are getting picked up rather than dudes who could hit 30 home runs but only hit about 250 that season on average. So, it's a kind of a give and take type of thing here. But anyway, for the third segment, also talked about why Toronto doesn't get Christmas Day games. Because Toronto's not a draw. No one wants to come watch Toronto. It's just the way it is. I mean, Toronto doesn't really have a rival out east now that LeBron is gone, and even when LeBron was there, how much of a rivalry was it really? I mean, cool, you get swept and lose to LeBron a bunch in the playoffs. Not really a rivalry, is it? People point, oh, well, everyone loses to Warriors. Yeah, I don't really think there's too many rivals out west for the Warriors either. The only true rival for the Warriors was the Cavs, just because the Cavs beat them 1 year. So, there's that, I guess. And then now for the fourth segment, we talk about anything else going on in the world of sports, and there's golf. The PGA Championship, last major of the year. Tiger Woods, obviously, we're looking at him. What are you doing, Tiger? Last tournament, you started off first two rounds hot, ended the last two rounds terrible. What are we getting today? Tiger Woods was average. Wasn't great. Wasn't bad, started off bad, ended up finishing decent. Shot 70 for the day, finished at even par. I mean, Tiger Woods, I'm not really sure what it is with him and the opening days of opening rounds of tournaments, but the guy just flat out stinks out loud. Like, he's been terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I mean, it's just like, come on now, Tiger. What are we doing here? But yeah, he didn't really play well today. Started off with a bogey and then a double bogey. And had to fight his way back just to break even. All right, Rory McIlroy still finished at 70, scoring 70 today. So he's right there with Tiger. As for Justin Thomas, he actually shot decently today, shot a 69. He's one under, tied for 23rd. As for the leaders, we got Ricky Fowler up top, all by himself. Finished the day at 65, 5 under, did well. Second place, you got Austin Cook, who's at 3 under, along with Ian Poulter, Jason Day also there. Along with Stuart Sink. You get Kyle Stanley, who's currently at 3 under, 11 holes in, so he does have an opportunity to head back to the locker room, clubhouse, whatever they call it in the golf world, at the end of the day, leading everyone. So we'll see about that. But like I said, it's always going to be on Tiger. I mean, if he doesn't shoot, break under par tomorrow, if he's not at about 2 under, 3 under, then I'd say Tiger's chances of winning this tournament aren't too great. I mean, of course, unless he has some absurd third and fourth round. Which I guess isn't completely out of the realm of possibility, is it now? No, it is not. So, we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, obviously, everyone's waiting for Tiger to win that major. If he does end up winning a major, it'll be one of the biggest stories of the year. Probably one of the biggest stories in golf history, I'd say. Just given how low he went to how high he's trying to come back up. So, there's that. Moving over to soccer news. Tottenham Hotspur play over in the EPL, English Premier League. Did not buy one single player this transfer window. For all my soccer heads out here, I mean, what are they doing exactly? I don't understand it. Like, I get they got a whole new fancy schmancy stadium. Is that why they can't buy players? That they cash-strap themselves to the point where the stadium is all they can do and you're not going to buy anyone? Because that's ridiculous. That's embarrassing. And I'm not even sure how much they tried going out and buying players. I mean, it's ridiculous. Tottenham have had about this four-year process where they've been trying to make it up as far as being a top club in England. And I think they were on the verge. And the year you're on the verge of doing that, you don't buy one single player to start out the season. I do not understand this club whatsoever. Last year you showed, yes, even though we lost to Juventus, we can't compete with the top teams in the Champions League, winning a group with Real Madrid, Borussia Dortmund, and playing up until the last minute, coming close to getting past Juventus in the round of 16. You went pretty far in the FA Cup, did end up losing in the semifinal, but nonetheless, you did go pretty far. Ended up finishing third in the Premier League table this season. So like I said, they were still on the way up. And you don't bring on anyone. Fernando Llorente is still your backup striker. Do they realize this? Do they? I mean, they're the first Premier team ever to not make a transfer signing. I don't understand it. What was the board thinking? And was it just Pochettino saying, you know what? I like the guys we got. We don't need to buy anyone. Tottenham must not have a lot of money in that club right now with the stadium, new stadium. If you didn't buy one player, there is absolutely no way. Because they had to have been telling themselves, oh yeah, the squad we got is fine. What do we need to spend money for? Just to pretty much lie to themselves here. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. They're going to finish below Arsenal this season. You got a brand whole new stadium for no reason. No new players to show for. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm a little bit baffled here. I do not buy one player. And like I said, they weren't really rumored with too many people. The only thing real rumors with Tottenham was whether or not they were going to sell Toby Alderweireld to Manchester United, where that didn't actually end up happening. Danny Rose is still there. All the players they were, I mean, rumored to sell are still there. Dembele. But, I mean, I only really saw them linked to Martial. it was known that Manchester United wasn't really keen on selling him. Also, another player from Aston Villa that they were linked to, but that was just today, and they never got that done. I mean, it's incredible. I don't understand how you go a whole transfer window without buying a player, but nonetheless, here they've gone. I mean, Liverpool have gotten better. Manchester City have gotten better. United have kind of, sort of gotten better. Arsenal have gotten better. And Chelsea are still a great team. They could get passed up. Tottenham could only finish 6th this season. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, I just think it's going to be between them, United, and Chelsea competing for that 4th spot. I'm not really sure who I want to give that to now, because I think those are the three teams with questions heading into this season. I think Arsenal have a pretty decent idea of what direction they want to head in. Liverpool and City are going to be competing for the title. And the teams who have problems, United with Mourinho, Chelsea, striker situation isn't really looking too great, and Tottenham, who haven't bought into one player. I mean, of course they're going to fight for the 4th and final spot. I'm not really sure I believe Tottenham to get that spot. So we'll see what ends up happening. But the fact that they didn't buy one player in this transfer window is absolutely ridiculous. So we'll see how that works out for them to start the season. And how it works out for them going forward. I mean, maybe they buy some players over in the winter transfer window. But even then, how do you know it's not going to be too late? So we'll see what ends up happening. We're going to wrap it up here. Today we talked about the preseason games. In the first segment, second segment, we talked Jason Wirth and the MLB super nerds in the front offices, the analytics guys. Third segment, we talked about the Toronto Raptors not getting a Christmas Day game. And then for this segment, we talked about Tiger Woods and Tottenham Hotspur. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.